pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to the Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call number tonight and every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by that No Pork Eating America lover, Al. Good evening, Al. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Vito. It is good to be here because I am right where I want to be.
Right on Monday evenings, right here on Global Patriot Radio. Hello to Sue from New Mexico. Nice to see you, and prayers are with you. And hello to everybody out there in podcast land. Hope everyone is doing well and getting ready. Next Monday is Memorial Day weekend, and it's kind of like we're going to be approaching summer. So for many parts of the country, a heat wave is coming upon you. I think that's what they say, a tropical heat wave, nothing but a heat wave. No.
I think El Nino is rolling through this year, so it'll be a little bit drier. Weather might be a little bit more unpredictable, but the climate is changing every single day. It gets hot, it gets cold, it gets dark, it gets light. Over and over and over.
Yeah, can you imagine that? The climate changing, let's see. We're going from spring, and the climate's going to change to summer. And then when you get past, Labor Day in September, like the middle of September, Then the season changes, the climate changes from summer to fall, and then in December it changes from fall to winter, and then next March it'll of 2024 it'll change from winter to spring, and the climate changes. Oh my gosh, that's something that's new.
That is spectacular analysis, Vito Esposito. There's no more mystery to climate change.
You heard it here first, folks. You heard it right here first. The climate changes every season.
Breaking news. Breaking news.
Breaking news.
these climate people are such idiots. Climate change. What a hoax of crap. Global warming didn't work. Climate. Global cooling. Global warming didn't work. Global cooling didn't work, so now they're doing climate change because that covers everything.
And we're going to talk more about this, and especially what's come out about John Kerry, the climate czar, and his comments concerning U.S. farms that was released. Came about sometime today, but we're going to talk about that here right after we talk about some sporting events and some political events that have occurred. So this past weekend, Thursday through Sunday, was the second major of the year for the PGA. It was a PGA championship held at the beautiful Oak Hill Country Club in Rochester, New York. The weather wreaked havoc, a lot of twists and turns. In the end, hole number 16 was the killer for two contenders. It was Corey Connors and Victor Hovland, and it helped Brooks Koepka secure his third PGA Championship victory. Two shots over world number two Scottie Scheffler and Victor Hovland. Hovland hung in most of the day, but number 16 had got him and didn't learn anything from Corey Connors' Saturday's episode or escapade on 16. But the real story for the weekend was PGA Club Pro Michael Block. Now, Block stole the show. This major, the PGA, for this PGA championship, the PGA club pros from around the country compete to qualify for a spot in the PGA Championship. And they were like 14, I think, or 16 PGA pros. So if you're taking lessons from a PGA pro in your area, whether you're in Ohio or California or Texas, it's a guy who is, he's got his PGA card and he's authorized to teach as far as the PGA fundamentals. Anyways, so these guys get to compete, and this is one of the tournaments they get to compete in. So Michael Block is the gentleman's name from California, and he was the hit of the tournament. Now, Michael Block, he tore it up for 2 days, Thursday and Friday. He makes the cut at even par. And that was a feat in itself because no other PGA club pro made the cut. So Michael, out of the 14 or 15 that qualified to play, only Michael Block was able to make the cut. And Sunday turned into a storybook, would you say, a storybook event. He was paired with Rory McIlroy for the final day, and Block is 2 over par, which is not really bad. I mean, he's probably in 20th place, 21st place, tied for 21st. He gets to the 15th hole, and it's a par 3. It was 151 yards playing uphill, and he hits a 7-iron, and he, on the fly, goes into the cup for a hole-in-one, and the crowd goes absolutely nuts. I know we went nuts in our house. It was like we couldn't believe what we were watching. You know, all of a sudden, this thing just goes, it hits the cup on the fly, goes in the hole. He doesn't really see it. Rory thought he saw it, but you could hear the crack when it hits the cup. So this guy makes the cut, okay, the only PGA club pro to do so. He's in the top 15 all day long, and he has a hole-in-one on a Sunday to secure an automatic invite for next year's PGA Championship. Now, he bogeys 16 to go to plus one, but then on 17 he pars, and on 18, I don't know if you saw that out, but he makes a 6-foot putt, and it wasn't an easy putt, but he drained it dead center. And plus he gets his biggest paycheck ever on the tour, from the tour, $283,000. And it was just a great last round. The crowd went nuts after the hole-in-one. I think the crowd went nuts for Michael Block on 16, on 17, and 18. And certainly walking up 18th hole, the crowd was going crazy. And when he finished with a par, the fans erupted once again. And it was a great. It made for a great tournament. It was unbelievable how everybody went crazy. And for him to get a hole-in-one on the last day, on a Sunday, on the last par three, was just incredible. It really was.
Well, he's captured the imagination. CNN and Fox News were all over the story because everyone, Vito, loves a feel-good underdog story, and this is about as good as it gets. I mean, look at it. Michael Block, what a story. Every angle this has been covered. So a highlight, a cool aspect. He's a club pro. It's like he deals with members and gives lessons. He is he's a worker. And there are a few club pros in every PGA championship who play year-round. They don't really spend any time at their home club, yet they reap the benefits of having the affiliation with the club. But he's the exact type of club pro that this opportunity to play in the PGA Championship is supposed to reward. It was a 10 out of 10 performance for him. He capped off by pairing with Rory McIlroy, and at the hole-in-one on 15, all of a sudden, he said, Rory McIlroy came up and gave me a hug, and we're not even that close. And then Rory whispered in his ear, he goes, was that a hole-in-one? Rory goes, yes, that was a hole-in-one. And then they hugged. It was pretty outstanding. In the world of golf, even if you didn't witness it, you love the underdog story, and that was a winner. And if you do understand golf, that was probably one of the best tournaments I've seen all year round. And also congratulations to Koepka, too. He had a big milestone. And that, let's see, what was it? Oh, he won this PGA Championship for the third time, and he clinched his fifth major title on Sunday at Oak Hill Country Club in Rochester. So congratulations to Brooks Koepka as well. So it was just a great day of golf all around.
Yeah, that was just, it was just exciting to watch Michael Block. I mean, and how he was receptive. And, of course, he's parlayed that now. He's got an invite to this week's coming tournament at the Colonial. So, you know, it could be just a one-hit wonder, or, you know, and if he finishes in the top 10, he'll get an invite to the next week's tournament. So it could be a, it could be something he could capitalize on. So it was really good. So congratulations to Michael Block. He's a social media phenom right now, and if he could continue to ride the high, it would be really cool to watch. It's just a journeyman living a dream. And so congratulations to him.
Awesome. Yeah, that was part of the beauty. That was part of the beauty of it, is that he kept saying, I am just enjoying this moment because it's not going to last forever, and this is just phenomenal. I'm enjoying every second of it the whole way. He embraced the fans. He embraced the event. He embraced that time in his life, because the chances of repeating that are very, very slim. Plus, he seems like a very genuinely nice man, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And most club pros are, you know. It was kind of cool to watch him.
Yep.
On Saturday.
Now, hold on, before you move on, we got to have the conversation. Yes.
What?
Vito, I've got to have the conversation with you.
What's that?
Should Koepka be invited to the U.S. Ryder team? After this victory, the internet is burning with chatter. Should he be invited or should he not?
I'd say no. It's very simple. He abandoned the PGA. There's no reason for him to be on the same team. You know what? He did great in the major. He did well at the Masters, but he decided to go to a competing tour. So I don't think he or any of the Europeans should even play for the European tour. So. That's my, you know, he wants to go with the Saudi Arabians. That's fine, and well, good luck to him. He did earn a spot into the PGA Championship by virtue of being a past champion. That luxury has been afforded to the defectors. So I don't see any reason to even consider him to be on the team. There's other guys who have devoted their allegiance to the tour that should be rewarded for it.
Interesting. Well, I have a little different opinion. I look at the U.S. Ryder team. The U.S. Ryder team represents the United States of America, our great constitutional republic, not the PGA. And if Brooks Koepka or even any of the LIV players who are American earn the right through skill and winning to make it onto the Ryder Cup and to be picked, I don't think that they should be barred from it. Just as this tournament, it was great having everybody playing. There was no closed shots. I got to tell you, the tournaments were good coming up to this, the closed ones, but this was definitely much more exciting. It was like it should be. So, I don't know.
I didn't think it was any more exciting with having the Saudi LIV employees. I didn't think they made a difference, although, you know, Koepka did
win.
Won. So,
and Bryson tied for fourth. He played well, even his story. He's exciting to watch. But, you know, that's going to be a question that sports fans will be talking about up until the Ryder Cup. So you got a taste of it here. Nothing boring about it, and a lot of fun to be had discussing this topic.
And another topic of that took part, that kind of got lost this weekend, was the 148th Preakness was run in Baltimore. It's the second leg of the Triple Crown in horse racing. And the Kentucky Derby winner, Madge, had odds of 7-5, considering that Madge was 15-1 at the Kentucky Derby. But National Treasure was trained by Bob Baffert, who came back from a two-year suspension, ended up winning. National Treasure came in first. Blazing Sevens finished second at 9-2 odds, and Madge at 7-5 odds finished third. So there'll be no Triple Crown winner this year for 2023. Belmont Racetrack is the next leg, or the last leg of the Triple Crown, and that'll be held on June the 10th. It's the longest track of all three races. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
And there's also another side of this horse racing that was also in the news, that at Churchill Downs this year, 7 horses died. At the Kentucky Derby, 1 horse died.
Yeah.
One with the same trainer who 2 years ago was doping horses and could not step foot onto the grounds once the spring of horses suspension was over, and he got a winning horse. But a lot of people are talking about these horses that died, that they broke legs. And with a horse, when they break a leg, it's very difficult to put them in a cast like they would you or me, because a horse puts weight constantly on their legs. It doesn't heal properly. It's very painful for the horse. So rather than put the horse, even these horses of great value, they euthanize them as a show of mercy. But a lot of people are talking that this is more horse deaths than any other year, recorded year, in the actual racing. So there's some question about the training procedures, drugs, and other things that maybe these horses are, I don't know, maybe these horses are getting too doped up, and it's very bad and dangerous for the horses. So some people are calling for the end of horse racing.
Well, this is with dogs. Yeah, I don't think they should give end to horse racing, but certainly something's contributing to these horses, like Champion Anita is having issues with horses dying, and could it be that they're compromising the horses, pumping them with like a steroid type thing that causes their bones to become brittle and breaking legs, or maybe they're pushing them too hard. But man, it is kind of weird that's occurring on a more frequent basis.
So there's always something going on in the world of sports, and that's a mystery. Explore it and get back to us on Monday if you find the answer. I want to hear it.
Well, speaking of exploring, today Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina threw his hat in the ring for the Republican nomination for President of the United States. So he announced his bid to run for president. Senator Scott hails from South Carolina, and with South Carolina now being the first state to be casting its primary votes, it could bode well for both Tim Scott and or Nikki Haley. And while Scott would certainly be better than any other destructive Democrat to run for president, or certainly who are currently president, the U.S. doesn't need another senator for president. And, I commend Senator Scott for jumping in the race. I listened to his speech today. It was very positive. I have to say one thing. I agree with almost everything he stated. And part of it was Senator Scott in his uplifting speech for candidacy, he quoted Martin Luther King for one, "You don't judge a person by the color of their skin, but you by the content of their character." And
so
Senator
true.
Scott also said, "America is a country of opportunity, not of oppression." And it was a great speech. He was rejecting the Marxist ideology that's dividing America. And one last quote that he stated, well, 2 points. He said, "Under our nation today, our nation's in retreat, retreating from our history under Biden." And then he quoted, and Senator Scott quoted his mom, and he said that, "My mother told me, son, you could be a victim or you could be a victor. And I chose to be a victor." And it was very positive. It was very uplifting. And it was refreshing to hear someone speak positive about the United States of America, especially from a black American, with all of the noise that's coming out of the radical left-wing Marxists seeking to divide America. Senator Tim Scott was a refreshing voice today and could very well be a refreshing voice for the future. So,
well, his two last tweets were very refreshing. He said, "Democrats have fought to keep our borders open. What they don't tell Americans is that their policies, the Democrat policies, have caused human trafficking rates to skyrocket, destroying countless lives. We can end this humanitarian crisis by securing our border." Well stated, Senator Scott. And then he went on to add, President Biden is on track to become the first president in American history to default on the debt limit. We need a leader who's able to step up to the plate and negotiate a responsible budget. And we'll touch on some of that with the Chinese yuan later. But Tim Scott's right on. I think he's vying for a VP seat, but we'll see what happens with President Trump. But either way, he'll make the race interesting.
Yeah,
and he's a good man.
He's pretty articulate. He's a good guy, and he knows his history and his facts, and if he can keep a positive message, you know, that's certainly what America needs right now, because we've got a couple of buffoons in the White House serving as president and vice president, not to mention the radicalism of the bureaucrats in Washington, D.C. And speaking of the radicals of Washington, D.C., it's nice to see the Senate Majority Leader has relaxed the dress standards. Did you see this, Al? And senators now can dress like slobs. Senator Fetterman of Pennsylvania's dress code, you know, it's abhorrent. It's unprofessional. Here he is. He's wearing a hoodie, and he's wearing shorts and sneakers at a press conference. And it's like, is this the respect the Senate Majority Leader Schumer is advancing in the United States Senate? I mean, certainly the lack of respect in the United States has been a cancer. It's been metastasizing, and now you've got Schumer relaxing standards. I mean, since Schumer has little respect for the U.S. Constitution, why would he have respect for we the people? And is Senator Fetterman's mental state that fragile? I heard someone today, a doctor, talking about that. She said, you know, is Senator Fetterman's mental state that fragile that he's not able to wear a suit? I mean, it's that tenuous that he should not be serving in the United States Senate, if that's the fact. But again, we the people see how there's a protection afforded to their brothers and sisters in the U.S. Senate, both active and retired. And I don't get it, man. I really don't. There should be a sense of decorum, and there is none. And here you have Schumer, who likes to chastise Republicans at every corner, and he's allowing his party members to dress as slobs. And that's all. There's nothing more you can describe of that. Nothing but a slob.
Ronald Reagan, if you recall, he made it a rule that when he is in the Oval Office, he always wears a jacket and a tie out of respect for the office. And then after he left, Clinton relaxed things. He never wore a jacket. He got blowjobs in the Oval. And Obama was the same way, minus the BJs that we know about, but he had a relaxed dress code. And Fetterman has taken this to a new low, and as you said, it is completely disrespectful to the United States of America. It's disrespectful to the position that he was elected to by the people, and the man is an embarrassment.
It really is. And I'll tell you, what really made a lot of sense was when that doc said, is Fetterman's mental state that fragile where he can't dress up and wear a suit and a tie, you know, a coat and tie? I mean,
but you remember the monkey show, they had a monkey actor who they even put in a suit. So I think Fetterman could be in a suit if he wanted. I don't know if his mental capacity impacts the wearing of clothing or not.
Well,
was that Dr. Bombay who came to that conclusion that he's too retarded to wear a suit? I think he needs to have his license revoked.
Dr. Bombay, come right away. Oh my gosh, just an embarrassment.
Well, he's a perfect Democrat. He's a Marxist Democrat. He's perfect for the party. In fact, I think that it's the ticket in 24 should be Biden Fetterman, and their tagline is "We are." Oh shit! We are. I think it should be Biden and Fetterman. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if we're going to go down the tubes, we might as well go down the tubes with two retards. I mean, both of them can't – between the both of them, they can't complete sentences.
Right. You know? And their tagline would be, Biden, Fetterman, 2024, we are on the spectrum. Are you? So, Democrats, feel free to use that. I give it to you freely and graciously.
Well, SpaceX and Axiom Space had a launch yesterday in Florida, and it was a manned rocket launch. Four individuals, two hailing from Saudi Arabia, were on the rocket, and it did dock with the space center, with the space station today, and all four individuals did make their access way into the space station. So, again, congratulations to SpaceX, and they've done an outstanding job. And Peggy Whitson was the commander, John Schaffner, Saudi astronaut Rihanna Barnwall, and Ali Al-Karni. So I guess Muslims will now state that they are that it's their space station now. So.
Well, they need to put an asterisk by their names, because the two Saudis, they bought their ride, they bought their space on the spacecraft. They didn't earn it; they bought it. So they calling them. I guess anybody, you could send me and John Fetterman up into space, and we'd both be called astronauts because we went into space. But I don't believe that the Saudi Arabians is accomplished as whatever they are in their fields. They bought their way onto that spaceship, which is okay. They have the right to do it, and SpaceX took their money, so good for them. Commerce, I love
it. They set up a prayer room up there, I guess. Huh? You can go outside and pray.
Muslims in space.
Nine Merlin engines powered the Falcon 9's first stage roar to life at 5:37 p.m., quickly throttled to 1.7 million pounds of thrust, and smoothly pushed the rocket away from the historic pad 39A at Kennedy Space Center. So it was a private astronaut mission.
But I did hear that their motivations, the Saudi Arabians, their motivations for going up, is they thought that this rocket was actually going to the moon, because they heard the Israelis had put cities on the moon and settlements on the moon. So they wanted to go there and put their own and say that they were there first.
That is pretty cool.
It is true, sort of.
Here we go. Rockets will be flying. Oh, here we go. Well, that's because the Israelis are, they're now the apartheid of the moon, right? Is that the cry? Is that the whine going to be for Rashida Mother effort to leave? You know, the apartheid of the moon.
She's going on about the Israelis being an apartheid state. Meanwhile, they've got Arabs that are in the Knesset, which is their governing body. They have Arab seats that are making policy in Israel. They have Arabs that go to Israeli universities. They have Arabs and Muslims that live in Israel that are Israeli Arabs. And then there's Arabs who go back and forth because they work in Israel, because that's where the best pay is. But in reverse, if an Israeli goes into the Gaza Strip, they're likely to be murdered and killed and never seen again. So an apartheid state, Israel is not, by a long shot.
Just here we go, you know. Why would you bring facts up now, Al? Why would you bring facts? Why would you inject the fact that Israel has, you know, Arabs in the Knesset and an Arab coalition? I mean, that just, you know, that's not supposed to happen.
Well, I didn't say that these Saudi Arabian astronauts bought their way onto the LIV tournament. Now, did I?
No.
Okay. That would be mean. And patently untrue. Because I don't know what their handicaps are.
That's true.
It may not even be scratch golfers.
So we touched on the climate con man, John Kerry, just at the start of the show. And it's really disturbing that now the climate hoax has now taken a new step. And that step, okay, and it's not really new, because if you've been following the if you've been following farming news, you'll know that under the Biden-Harris radical regime, they've been doing all they can to disrupt farmers and farming, whether it's in the United States or around the world, specifically in Germany. And all under this climate change, as they call it, the climate crisis hoax, John Kerry claimed that U.S. farm confiscation are not off the table, as he stated, that small farms contribute a significant amount of greenhouse gases, or I should say, as in John Kerry's terms, John Kerry stated, as the small farms contribute a significant amount of greenhouse gases. If you recall, farmers in Holland are undergoing the most radical regulation. They are actually causing culling of herds and destruction of crops. Following the plans of the World Economic Forum and the United Nations have produced a disaster of major proportion. We do not want that evil plan here. And sadly, and disturbingly, John Lurch Kerry is seeking to bring this oppressive climate hoax into the United States and to infect farming in the United States, which also infects the food supply. Now, what should give us cause or give us pause for concern is when John Lurch Kerry is sitting next to Bill Gates, you know something is wrong. Kerry said a lot of people have no clue that agriculture contributes about 33% of all emissions of the world, he said during his keynote address. We can't get to net zero. We don't get this job done unless agriculture is in front and center as part of the solution. So all of us understand here is the depths of this mission. He is delivering remarks at the Agriculture Innovation Mission for Climate Summit held in Washington, D.C. Kerry neglected to acknowledge the undeniable fact that the agriculture industry plays a vital role in providing substance and ensuring the survival of approximately 8 billion people worldwide. And it's really troubling that you watch, you look at the, and it's on Twitter, a lady named Eloise posted it. John Kerry declares a war on U.S. farmers, and he's sitting next to Bill Gates with the backdrop behind that says World Economic Forum. The World Economic Forum is part of the New World Order, and as well as the United Nations with this phony climate scam, this Agenda 30. The fact is John Kerry is an evil stand-in for the liars and fakers of the green agenda. He uses his own private carbon belching jet to go to all climate summits while demanding that the peons starve and not use fossil fuels, all while claiming it's necessary to save the planet. Hogwash. But a farm confiscation? Recently, the governing body of the European Union officially endorsed measures to compel farmers to vacate their lands as part of the EU's Natura 2000 scheme, which categorizes farms as significant emitters of nitrogen. Under the plan, farmers would be offered 120% of their farm value through a buyout program. However, those who decline this offer would face the risk of being forcibly removed from their land without any financial compensation. We have written about Dutch farmers' troubles previously. They have protested in droves, trying to get the government off their backs. The fight is coming. Will U.S. farmers fare better than farmers in Europe? The groceries you buy now depend on farmers, on our farmers, fight back against the green agenda. Stand with them. And this is This is from the conservative firing line, and it was written by Faye Higby. Now, one other thing to look at with regards to the European Union talking about nitrogen, and what's really and truly disturbing with this whole climate scam agenda, back in December of 2022, what are we, 6 months ago, Barack Biden was attending a U.S. African Leaders Summit. And Barack Biden pledged another $2.5 billion, okay, to the African leaders. And that would be U.S. taxpayer money, which then equaled a total of $11 billion, okay, to, under the guise of sending for emergency food crisis to offset Africa's inability to feed itself. Now you say, well, you know, we are philanthropic. We're a philanthropic country. We don't want to see people starve, and we certainly do not want people to starve. But when you intentionally seek to starve people, you are committing such an evil act, and that's exactly what the Biden-Harris regime is. They are evil. The farmers in Africa, thanks to the Russia-Ukraine war, cannot buy fertilizer. Farmers can't buy fertilizer to use in their farms in order to grow crops. But with this climate change ruse that's going on with the World Economic Forum, the New World Order, the United Nations, the useless nations, the European Union, they demanded that Africa not manufacture its own fertilizer in order for farmers to use to fertilize their crops in order to grow food for the African people. If you watch any type of TV and you're on the cable channels, you see commercials that depict all the starving children in Africa. And you know what? It is sad. But when the United States, led by a radical green scam agenda being put forth by Joe Biden, being put forth by the World Economic Forum, being put forth by the European Union, being put forth by the world, by the United Nations and Bill Gates, to not allow farmers to grow crops to feed the people of Africa, that is a sin. That is evil. And we're giving Africa a paltry $2.5 billion for food, for water, for a food crisis, and Barack Biden has the audacity to talk about climate change crisis. John Kerry talks about the climate change crisis. We can't have Africa manufacture fertilizer because of the war in between Russia and Ukraine, and Ukraine being the chief exporter of fertilizer around the world to farmers. And now you've got John Lurch Kerry advocating for shutting down farms, including in the United States. And guess what? He's all for confiscating your farm. It's not bad enough that we, the people now, thanks to the intentional tanking of our energy in the United States, we're paying 50% more since January 2021 for groceries. And is the goal now to starve the American people in order to thin the world population, because that's the ultimate goal of the New World Order, the ultimate goal of the World Economic Forum? The Great Reset is pure evil by the global elitists who are intentionally starving people around the world. And now the World Economic Forum wants to come in and they want to dictate to U.S. farmers that we're going to take your farms if you don't adhere to selling your farms because of this so-called climate crisis that's man-made by these fucking Marxists. I hope that, there is an uprising in the United States against this radicalism, against this Marxism, against this radical globalism that's using the environment as a weapon in conning the American people, in confiscating wealth from the U.S. taxpayer. I mean, how dare John Kerry threaten the American people? How dare he threatens farmers? But this is all sanctioned by the Barack Biden and Kamala Harris regime. It's all sanctioned because John Kerry speaks on behalf of the Biden-Harris regime. He speaks on behalf of the World Economic Forum. He speaks on behalf of Bill Gates. This is radical, folks. Now, I'm sick of that. And the fact that we're giving, one more point, the fact that we're giving African nations, you know, $11 billion, a measly $11 billion, so that they don't manufacture fertilizer that they can no longer buy from Ukraine because of the war. And you got Biden continually funding this endless and this quagmire in Ukraine.
Well, all I know is John Kerry doing the work of the World Economic Forum and the United Nations, not to the betterment of the United States of America, is seditious behavior, him and Bill Gates both, and they're very close to crossing that line. And anybody who talks about confiscating land is Marxist and needs to be stopped. In fact, we got a caller on the line, Joe Gibson. You want to talk to him?
Sure, put him on. I think
Joe.
Running for the State House in North Carolina.
Doing all right. How are you? Doing all right. And, this is the well-oiled machine, the New World Order, confiscating land. It's a page right out of Stalin's book there, what he did right when he first took power. And it's been done throughout history. But this New World Order, I don't think America will – I think America really has to be destroyed and broken up into tiny little pieces before they can actually achieve their New World Order, because there's too many gun-toting Americans out there like myself who are awake, who are not going to go for it. But, you know, but they're going to single us out one, you know, little by little, groups by groups, and like they've been doing. Look how many patriots are in jail today. Look how many patriots have been murdered to this day. I mean, just imagine if we had those numbers out on the street with us today. I mean, just think about it. I mean, so, you know, they're doing a good job of destroying this country, that's for sure.
Well, without a doubt, and for John Lurch Kerry, you know, this elitist that goes around and talks about climate crisis and endorsing the fact that farmers' land can be taken in the United States and alluding to that fact, and then paying the African Union a measly $11 billion to stop, to not manufacture fertilizer while the people of Africa are starving, is evil. It's pure evil. And it's about time that the American people start speaking out against this radicalism.
Where's BLM? Where's BLM? Why aren't they marching on the streets about that one? You know? I mean, this is the thing. You know, everyone's fighting for the wrong reason and doing the wrong cause, you know, and we're all – and everybody's a chief and we don't have enough Indians. We're all going around, yeah, here, fight this battle, that battle. You know, we're all doing this, speaking out, and that's because we all care. But at the same time, we're absorbing and eating ourselves by doing that. We've got to be careful. We have got to network together, come together, unify together, put our little pennies and our little $100 bills together, and put the right people in office all around the country. It can be done. We can do it. We don't have 100 years to do it. We've got to act now, tomorrow. That's it. Yesterday is already too late. So we have to come together quickly here and stop with this. Well, we got to wake people up. Everybody's awake. Everybody knows what the hell's going on. If you don't, then you've been under a rock forever. So leave those people behind. With those of us that are awake, we can do this. We know what that has to be done.
It's a grassroots effort. I mean, and that's exactly what the left wing has done. They built the grassroots movement over the last 50 years, and it's paying off for them. It's paying off handsomely.
Yep.
And you have these radical anti-Americans like John Kerry, who's had a basically a disdain for the United States since the Vietnam War, and he's profited from it handsomely.
Yeah. Well, people need to like this podcast show. With this has been around a little while. I tune in and listen and tell
Thank
other
you.
People about it. But we have to do this with everybody, though. You know, everybody has to come together. More people have to come here. You know, come to my podcast. Go to other podcasts. Go to the Righteous Army .org. The Big Virus hoax.com. You know, all these places that have all this information and wealth of wanting to bring people together should be exploding right now, but they're not. Instead, we're looking for Donald Trump to save us. It's not going to happen. I support Trump or whatever, but the thing of it is, he's not going to save. He's not the savior here. We are the savior. We the people. We the people have to come together, and that's the only way it's going to change.
Well, don't you think? And this is something that's really been kind of got up my craw. Since January 2021, we've had a daily barrage of chaos. Prior to January 2021, for instance, transgenderism wasn't even on the radar. And yes, it's one half of 1%. But suddenly it was brought forth as a divisive issue by the Biden-Harris-Obama regime. And now it's part of the chaos that's ensuing. We have chaos in the streets. We have chaos in big cities where rules and laws are being relaxed. And yet we have what's called the rule of law that's being used as nothing but a meaningless cliche. We have the crisis at the border. We have the crisis in energy. We have the crisis in grocery and transportation. So this is actually a very well planned out scheme, wouldn't you say, to throw all of throw America into a crisis in such a short period of time, 847 days. And then we all have to pick and choose, and we're overwhelmed as Americans, and it's worked brilliantly because it's kept us in balance. We're off our game, we're off our stride, and we're all fractioned, and it's all by design, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah, most definitely. And we have no one to blame but ourselves because of the gridlock that we help create ourselves. Because, look, if you're an employer out there, all this damn paperwork they got to make you fill out to hire somebody, a bunch of nonsense. I mean, you know, I've tried to apply for a job. I used to be a business owner for 18 and a half years. I went out this year and said, I'm going to go out and try to find a job out there. And, man, what has changed? The application process is completely ridiculous. Everything's done through your stupid phone now. You know, they want everything right down to almost your DNA to verify who you are to work in the United States. But meanwhile, we've got illegals coming across the border, and all they got to say is, I declare amnesty. And that's it. They can get a job. They get a credit card, a bank account, and social security number, and that's it. They're on the road. You know, I mean, but me, as an American who's born here, I have to go through this rigor mortis that they have. I mean, and really, if you're an employer out there, if you're partaking in this or participating in this nonsense, use common sense, take a step back, and don't cooperate. Resist. You are the resistance. Don't worry about the consequences, because the consequences are freedom. And that's what we need to realize, that we have got to stand up now. We have to worry about tomorrow now. That's the most important thing. And you're right. It's well-calculated, well-designed, oiled machine that's really bringing this country down.
So what's the name of your show? When is it on? And then also, I understand you're running for political office. So give us a quick breakdown.
Running for North Carolina House of Representatives here in District 65. Name of my show, my main night is Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's called Restoring Our Republic, Understanding the Times We Live Today, blogtalkradio.com/Joseph Gibson. I'm on Amazon, iHeartRadio, all those other places. They got my show fanned out. But, yeah. Network together. Come over here. Come over to this podcast. Go over to the other podcasts that are saying the same things. And network together. Meet new people. You might meet people in your own backyard. And come together and get out there and do activism together. There's so many ways to beat these people. The door is wide open, but it's closing. It's closing and closing. And when they got that thing slammed shut and they got everything confiscated and they own you, your body, your rights, your choices, forget it. It's game over, 1,000 years of darkness, hell on earth. And I don't want to live to see that. I'm going to tell you that right now.
I agreed. 100%. Agree 100%, Joe.
Yeah.
Al?
But we can do it. We can do it.
We can.
Well,
how's your campaign going?
Well, it's like I said, it's just beginning now, the cycle for the 2024. Everyone's starting to name their governor, who's going to run for governor, and now president. I'm sure you see it on the news media. So right now I'm pretty well established since the first time I ran. First time I ran, didn't spend a dollar, just put my name out there and let people I know, and let the word of mouth spread. And I came in second place in my district. And, so this time I'm going to spend the money, do what I got to do, and hopefully that they don't, ransack, take me out before I get there. Because let me tell you something, these people play dirty. They're very dirty. And if they think you've got a big name out there, something like a Donald Trump, look how they go after him. Look what they do to him, And we only hear some of it. Imagine the stuff we don't hear. So they do attack patriots, and look what they've done throughout the years. Randy Weaver, the Waco, all the things they've done, the crimes that this government's committed. So, they go after good people like us, and we have to be careful and watch our backs. But it's worth it. It's worth it in the end if we achieve the goal, which is freedom.
Agreed. 100%. Absolutely agree. You guys got Mark Robinson that's running for governor, isn't he, in North Carolina?
Yep, that's correct. He's the lieutenant governor right now, but, yeah, he's going to be running, and he's got my vote, and I've met him a couple times, and hopefully we can all align. I'm trying to do that. I'm trying to get everyone here in North Carolina to align with each other, to have the same belief and believe in the Constitution, believe in the patriot community. And if we all come together, man, the force we can be across this country. It's amazing how easy we could take this thing back.
We can. And it's kind of erase the corruption and work again for we the people. That's the end game, working for we the people. So
that's right.
Well, Joe, I wish you all the best, and we'll check you out on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio, correct?
Yes, sir, and I'll continue listening. And, please stop by anytime and make your voice heard. And I'll promote the show, of course, your show, like I always do. And God bless everybody up there. God bless the Republic, and keep fighting.
Amen.
Hey,
great call.
God bless you. Thank you, Joe.
All right.
That's Mr. Joe Gibson. Our Republic is in trouble, ladies. It's a Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And it's Save Our Republic, Restoring Our Republic, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio. Great job, man. So one of the notes that I put in the episode notes for tonight was concerning communist China and their relationship with the theocratic terrorist regime of Iran. And it seems to be getting stronger. And we should be a little bit more concerned, and we should show concern about it, because with Joe Biden being compromised by the communist Chinese, including his crime family, the void now in the world, as far as the superpower goes, is being consumed by communist China. And it's not just inking a deal between communist China and Iran for supplying oil, as they've done. It's also for the telecommunications. While Barack Biden and Harris, regime, are distracting Americans with their international intentional chaos and unrest, communist China continues to flex their globalist power, forging relationships with fellow oppressive countries, and not just purchasing oil and financing terrorist nations, or financing communist Russia's war with the Ukraine, or building roads and bridges in African nations or in Europe. It's about suppression of information, and it's becoming a norm. And it's the ironic thing is it coincides with a former president 2 weeks ago, last month, stating that the First Amendment is not absolute. And there should be limits on speech, especially on Facebook and Twitter. And son of a gun, a month later, this past week, you've got communist China working with the theocratic terrorist regime of Iran to oppress its people and to stem speech in those countries. Now,
we have to laud and we need to thank our founding fathers for crafting such a brilliant document called the U.S. Constitution. And within the Constitution, our founders included the Bill of Rights, and they wrote 10 amendments, and the very first amendment included freedom of speech. The very first amendment, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or prohibiting or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. The very first amendment of the Bill of Rights. And it talks about speech. It talks about free speech. And Barack Hussein Satoru Obama is intentionally deceiving the American people. He wants the government to decide what is disinformation and misinformation. And those two words were not part of our vernacular when it came to the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, when it came to freedom of speech, until January 20, 2021. The freedoms and liberties that have been afforded by our founders was brilliant, and there's no other country that specifically outlines the freedoms that are afforded, the five freedoms afforded under the First Amendment. The freedoms and liberties under all 10 original amendments. Now, aside from the fact that Barack Biden and Kamala Harris regime are working desperately to dismantle America's Bill of Rights and Constitution, our founders were brilliant. The right to a free press is guaranteed. Now keep that in the back of your mind as we learn how communist China and the terrorist regime of Iran have forged a relationship. The latest communist China and Iran deal is about China's large-scale effort to control and censor the internet, and it's become a viable conceptual and technical model for authoritarian regimes like Iran's Islamic Republic. The Islamic Republic of Iran follows China's lead in systematic oppression techniques. How do you like the word conceptual, huh? The internet has become a viable, conceptual, and technical model for authoritarian regimes. China loves to use that word, right? Conceptual meaning concept, maybe theoretical. However, it's a concept, and it's not a concept, nor theoretical mode of censoring or controlling the internet as communist China is seeking to do. But China is paying the theocratic terrorist regime of Iran handsomely, okay, for telecommunications to allow Iran to monitor speech in their country, to suppress speech in their country as communist China does in their country. 1 month after Barack Hussein Satoru Obama stated that the First Amendment freedom of speech is not absolute and the government should monitor disinformation and misinformation, that should scare the hell out of each and every American, because we're getting hit on all fronts. As we just spoke with Joe, we've got the border crisis, we've got energy crisis, we have food crisis, we have transportation crisis, we have housing crisis, we have a debt crisis, and now we have a speech crisis because the government wants to monitor disinformation and misinformation as they deem to be disinformation. Chinese technology companies have reassured the public on multiple occasions that they would never share the data with the Chinese government. Okay? They may not have a choice in the matter because Article 7 of China's national intelligence law requires organizations and citizens to support, assist, and cooperate with the state intelligence work. Now, I know I've just read that, but let me read it again. Article 7 under China's intelligence law requires, it requires organizations, it requires citizens to support, assist, and cooperate with the state intelligence work. This law gives the Chinese government unauthorized access to data, undermining whatever assurance Chinese tech companies may have. And since the Chinese tech companies are pretty much run by the communist Chinese, they'll have all that information. But the idea that it requires citizens to assist and cooperate with state intelligence, that's like the CIA coming into your neighborhood and stating, you will support and you will assist us and you will and cooperate with anybody who is speaking negatively about Joe Biden or who resists the Marxist ideology in America. And so the government's going to decide what is disinformation and misinformation. And so now the communist Chinese have aligned now with the theocratic oppressive regime of Iran to provide the telecommunications infrastructure, and they're going to pay Iran anywhere from $100 to $400 million in doing so. The communist Chinese aren't stupid, and they are running an oppressive world body, and they're finding the oppressive, the totalitarian oppressive regimes around the world to align with, such as Russia, such as Iran, now aligning with Brazil, with the new Marxist president who was elected, so to speak, and under the BRICS agreement, which China is part of, which Brazil is part of. And Joe Biden sits back and does nothing. So actually, China's investment in Joe Biden and the Biden crime family is paying off handsomely as China goes out and they secure the world power, the world dominance. I mean, Adam, this is incredible what's being done.
Oh, well, China's definitely done an elite capture is what the Chinese call it. An elite capture is when they get a high-visibility target like Eric Swalwell, and they make them their mode of information, and they turn these high-value assets. And President Biden and Hunter Biden are definitely elite targets. Same with the Iranians as well. And what's even more interesting about that is that the Chinese have also captured the Saudi Arabians. So you have the Saudi Arabian Sunnis, and you have the Iranian Shia, mortal enemies, because the Saudi Arabians are deathly afraid of Iran's nuclear capability. Yet the Iranians and the Saudi Arabians are both under the Chinese umbrella. And this is brand new, just happening. Very scary. And so what the Saudis are looking for, Vito, they're looking for a hedge. John Alterman, director of the Middle East Program at the Center for Strategic and International Studies, a Washington-based think tank, said, quote, given what the Saudis see as a radically unpredictable U.S. policy, they think it's irresponsible not to look for a hedge. And by radically unpredictable, you're looking at the U.S. policy that changed sharply between Obama. Then it went 180 degrees the other way of anti-Iranian by the killing of Suleiman by Trump. And now with Biden, Biden has fully again embraced the Iranians and shunned the Saudi Arabians. So do you blame Saudi Arabia for looking to China for some stability? If they can control Iran via China, it makes perfect sense that the Saudi Arabians would do that, considering the vacuum that President Biden has left in the Middle East.
You know, I still say this, and I use the word intentional, and I've actually supplanted that word. It's there's no more accidents with regards to Joe Biden.
It's just too coincidental that in 847 days that this much has fallen, okay, with regards to economic and foreign policies. We were told for years, okay, and we were told in 2008 that Joe Biden was this foreign policy genius. And to use genius in the same sentence as Joe Biden is an oxymoron. And it's misinformation. But we were told how much of a genius Joe Biden was on foreign policy. And what we learned, the genius of Joe Biden is that he can be bought and paid for by foreign entities, as he has been with the communist Chinese, as he has been with Ukraine, as he has been with Russia, and who knows what other countries. And, of course, the media in this country is owned by and it's seemingly run by the DNC, the Democrat National Committee. Not Democratic, because there's nothing Democratic about the Democrat Party. It's run by the DNC runs the media in this country, and they seemingly shield and protect Joe Biden, a corrupt man. And we have a government that is adopting government controls. And why suddenly does communist China find themselves being this aggressive, walking into our backyard, walking into our former allies, and paying in 2022, paying the terrorist regime of Iran $400 billion, okay, for a 25-year strategic cooperative agreement for 4G and 5G networking, $400 billion. And now they just announced that they're going to pay upwards to $450 million, you know, for telecommunications to the theocratic terrorist regime of Iran. And so there is a reason why Joe Biden was installed on January 20, 2021. And that was to allow China, communist China, to start flexing their world power. And is it any coincidence that Joe Biden was being, and the Biden crime family are being financed by communist China? $72 million to the Penn Biden Center by communist China? And if that had been President Trump, the media would have went absolutely apocalyptic. They would have went nuts. They would have buried and they would have excoriated President Trump for taking that much money from communist China, withholding a $1 billion loan guarantee in order to get a prosecutor fired in Ukraine because he was investigating the company that Joe Biden's crackhead son, Hunter, was working for, was on the board, excuse me, and John Kerry's stepson was on the board as well of Burisma. And then you fast forward to today, and last week it's leaked out that the IRS agents who were investigating Hunter Biden have all been fired. Now, excuse me, but you want to talk about political improprieties? You want to talk about abuse of power? You want to talk about the weaponizing of the executive branch? And now you've got China walking around the world to our ally, okay, in Brazil, to our ally, supposed ally Saudi Arabia. As much as I despise Saudi Arabia and what they did in financing 19 Muslim men to attack the United States of America on 9/11/2001, and Joe Biden simply walks away. And then he gloms on to this climate scam in the meantime, but now the country filling the diplomatic void, including confiscating minerals that the world uses, like, you know, promoting electric vehicles, but now it's going to be run and it's going to be driven by communist China, who controls those minerals. Fleeing Afghanistan, 13 dead Americans, but who comes in and fills the void? And it's communist China, who just not to deal with Afghanistan to drill oil in Afghanistan. Communist China. Is it any coincidence that Joe Biden has ceded control to communist China? I just, you know, we're, and again, this corruption is being
endorsed by a media that is controlled by the Democrat National Committee. And you can't tell me otherwise. There's just no way, shape, or form that somebody that we were told that has this genius on foreign policy can be this stupid, can be this ignorant, can be this feckless. It's truly amazing what we're seeing.
Well, as you said, it's by design. China is at war with the United States as we speak. They're using what's called unrestricted warfare. They're using drugs like fentanyl, opioids, and they're using the Mexican cartels to distribute drugs to our youth. TikTok is they're using cultural unrestricted warfare through cultural depravity, through the algorithms for American eyes only. In China, for example, TikTok algorithms, they promote education, arts, physical fitness, military service, the love of communism, Marxism, and the love of President Xi. Here in America, TikTok is showing men trying to be women, women trying to be men, obscene violence, and just they're destroying our culture, our unique American culture. But what's even worse than that, Vito, is that the communist Chinese are controlling or will be controlling the ultimate high ground. The ultimate high ground is in space, and few people are talking about the Tianyang Chinese space station was just completed within the last month. What that means is that China now has a viable offensive weapons platform in space. And the space station is it'll join a controversial project to collect solar power from space, send it to Earth in a high energy microwave beam, according to senior scientists. Now this high energy microwave beam is called the relativistic Klystron amplifier, or RKA. It's a high power microwave source. It's a small pulse power device that generates 10 gigawatt electron beam that can be used to drive a high power microwave weapon or energy transfer, however they want to sell it, but it can be used as a weapon in space to destroy satellites and then also targets on Earth. Now, whether this is disinformation from China, which it very might well be, just as President Reagan used Star Wars to defeat the Russians, but China's tech prowess over the last decade under the rule of Xi Jinping is unbelievable what he's done in 10 years. And he called this 10 years ago of what he wants to do. And now he even culminated it with the Chinese yuan, the Chinese currency. Remember how you were talking about Iran and Saudi Arabia getting together?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, they did the first liquid natural gas deal, and they closed the deal in the Chinese yuan. Why this is so significant is the U.S. dollar had always, for decades, been the currency of choice for international oil exchange, oil trade, the buying and selling of fossil fuels. Now the Chinese yuan is moving into that market, supplanting the U.S. dollar, making our U.S. dollar less prominent on the world stage, which directly impacts the United States of America, and then how we're viewed on the world stage. So China's goal to become a superpower, they're just hitting every checking every box, and it's scary. And this unrestricted warfare is real, and they're softening the battleground. And if we don't get a handle on this, America, then we are going to be in big, big trouble.
Well, you know, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, and that was when it was reported that that Brazil and Communist China came to an agreement, and they agreed that they would start trading in their own dollars, in their own currency. So the Brazil would use their, was it the real? And you've got the Chinese using the yuan, and they would ditch the dollar. Now, BRICS is an acronym, okay, for five countries. That would be Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. And now another nation wants to join that. But you've got the communist Chinese now can control those four countries and dictate that they ditch the dollar, and you start trading in yuan, you start trading in ruble, you start trading in rupee, leaving the dollar behind. And then to make even matters worse, okay, and if you think that Macron is a friend of the United States, Macron meets with communist Chinese Xi, and they're talking about trading in their respective currencies, the euro and the yuan, and ditching the dollar. Now, again, I find it extremely suspect that this is suddenly happening, and the president of the United States, or at least the person that they claim to be president of the United States, is sitting on the sideline. Of course, he's not knowing what's going on, but allowing this to happen for communist China to start filling the void around the country and certainly being the new superpower around the world. You know, and while we're talking about climate change, and while the United States and the European Union is paying, you know, the African Union not to manufacture fertilizer to feed their people, you have communist China throwing money at seaports in Africa on both the west and the east coast of Africa in order to bring their naval, creating naval ports. You have communist China forging relationships with, you know, the terrorist regime of Iran and Saudi Arabia. And now you're talking about them trading natural gas in yuan and in the currency of that country and ditching the dollar. And then you've got Biden sitting here talking about how he's balanced the budget, you know, under his administration, which is absolute horseshit, and no one calls him out on it. And we're wondering, you know, we're now going to demonize people for not accepting transgenders, you know, for swimming or lifting weights or running in tracks. Well, you know what? That's irrelevant. Okay? Because the real issue is the economic superpower of communist China. They might be broke, but they are seeking to break the United States of America. And have they paid Joe Biden and the Biden crime family to sit idly by? So that communist China can continue, you know, filling the block, the chess pieces along the road, along the world road, so that the United States is isolated. Oh yeah, that's right. We have the World Economic Forum telling, you know, the world that we need to that the United States now doesn't have the people in the United States don't have a right to own a vehicle. And now we're going to threaten our farmers and stealing their and confiscating their farms if you don't adhere to climate change initiatives. That's another hoax. Do you really think communist China cares about climate change when they're building, you know, two coal-fired plants a month for a year? That's what? They're building another 24 coal-fired plants? And you have Joe Biden unilaterally destroying the coal mining industry with the help of the United States Senate, including Joe Manchin? Wow. Wow. This is not by accident. This is not by accident. And then the NAACP comes out today, and they issue a travel a warning to travel to Florida. Really? Seriously? One DNC MSNBC guest says Florida has become a terrorist state. How retarded is this left-wing movement? That's the dumbest thing, a travel advisory warning to go to Florida. I mean, the communist Chinese are laughing. And you're right, Al. TikTok in America is showing cross-dressing males, and in communist China, they're talking about calculus with seven-year-olds. It's amazing. We're being distracted all by design.
Yep, we're at war. People don't even realize it.
What's that?
We're at war, and I mean, think about it. If you want to destroy America and weaken the stability and faith of the United States, the first thing President Biden would do is destroy our dollar, rise inflation, hit us domestically, which he did, 1, 2, 3. His policies can only determine one thing. His policies, he wants to destroy America. He's behaving seditiously, and we still don't have any impeachment proceedings against him for opening the border and hurting the national security of the United States of America. I mean, the president has one job, to keep the border secure and to keep our military strong. He's done neither. Marjorie Taylor Greene so far is the only person who's even talking about impeachment proceedings against Biden, Ray, and a couple of other people. But she's a lone voice out there in Mayorkas.
Yeah. You know, we can say all we want to say about Nancy Pelosi, but the one thing that she did rule, she ruled with an iron fist. And when they, the destructive Democrat Party, the establishment, the deep state, whatever you want to call them, when they were announcing their impeachment intentions against President Trump, she had all of our little chimpanzees behind her. You know, she had Eric Swalwell, Adam Schiff, Jerry Nadler, all these sycophants around her while she made the false allegations against President Trump. And then you fast forward to last week, Marjorie Taylor Greene is standing at the microphone all by herself. Not even Lauren Boebert was behind her. Where were the 14, you know, holdouts of the Freedom Party standing behind her, okay, surrounding her and agreeing that what Joe Biden did in violating Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution is an impeachable offense, intentionally violating his oath of office, intentionally unsecuring the border and creating a national security crisis. And not one member of the U.S. House other than Marjorie Taylor Greene was making the statement of impeaching Joe Biden, impeaching Mayorkas. And you conversely, you look at how Nancy Pelosi, not once but twice, she had a little gang of thieves around her, her little anti-Americans, okay, to justify the impeachment of Donald Trump in order to cover up for Joe Biden. That first impeachment on the phone call to Zelensky was a cover-up in order to cover for Joe Biden, because Joe Biden spilled the beans. He had diarrhea of the mouth, and not only did he indict himself, but he indicted Barack Obama in stating that they were solid on having a special prosecutor fired in withholding a $1 billion loan guarantee. That was an impeachable offense. But because President Trump was inquiring about that statement that Joe Biden made, okay, indicting Barack Obama and Joe Biden himself, the state went into quick action to discredit President Trump and to impeach him. And she had five or six of the destructive Democrats surrounding her in doing so. And did Marjorie Taylor Greene have? I mean, we have seen the destructive nature of Joe Biden and the Biden regime, because Joe Biden is not smart enough to do this by himself. And that's why he doesn't go down to the border, because he doesn't care. He doesn't understand what's happening at the border, I don't believe, because he doesn't care. And if he goes down there, he then sheds light and he gives credence to the fact that America has been overrun by no less than 6.5 million illegal, unvetted, unvaccinated aliens coming into the United States. But isn't that the job? The job is to dilute the sovereignty of the United States. The job is to break this patriotic movement and to bring people in who have no allegiance to the United States of America and end up being leeches and not showing any allegiance.
They're flooding the zone. Yeah.
They are. They're flooding the zone. Right.
Flooding the zone, making it impossible for our system. We have a system in place that does work if given the chance and all the rules and laws are followed and our border is secure. Our system will work, but this is called flooding the zone, and that's to overwhelm our border patrol, which they are, and then all of these future Democrat voters are coming over by the hundreds of thousands, if not millions, probably six total or seven, could be even more.
Seven.
We don't know how many runaways.
Mm-hmm.
These are all potential future voters when the Democrats call for a mass amnesty, because there's so many over here that the system is overwhelmed and they can't handle it. The system can't handle it, so we're going to do a mass amnesty and then give all these people that are here the right to vote and be legal U.S. citizens, and we'll bring them out of the shadows, the Democrats will say, and then they'll be able to get jobs and they'll get taxes and they'll be taxed and they'll do nothing but help our economy. That is what they will say. They've done it before twice, but it's all gaslighting the American people.
Gaslighted us brilliantly. They really have,
mm-hmm.
and they have a willing media to do so. They've gotten away with tearing at the very fabric of our country, the liberties and the freedoms, and they did it, and without any fanfare. And what they did was they ignored the border for 2 years. They ignored it, and as if it didn't happen. And in the meantime, unvetted, unvaccinated, illegal aliens pouring through, terrorists pouring through, drugs pouring through. And, and what does that tell you? If you take a step back and you look at this, the Democrat Party is made up of meaningless cliches and empty slogans. For the children. And if you really were for the children, you wouldn't divorce them from their families and allow the drug cartels, okay, to bring unaccompanied minors, okay, illegal alien children, and bring them into the United States and just drop them. And all of a sudden, now they're wards of the United States. I mean, you want to talk about evil? You want to talk about child abuse? Not to mention the human trafficking that's occurring, the child rapes that are occurring. All this cliche of for the children that the Democrat Party has adopted over the last 50 years is hogwash. It's meaningless. It doesn't mean anything. Oh, and then you've got drugs. How is it that Barack Biden and Kamala Harris are not expressing outrage over drugs coming into the United States, infesting the United States of America and killing our children? Getting them hooked on drugs, tearing up families, and then becoming a cancer in our society. And they've allowed these drugs to come in. And then the Democrats have the audacity to blame the Republicans. And they've made it into a political issue when, in fact, the border not being secured has also led to countless unknown amounts of drugs being poured into the United States and killing our children. And so here we have another meaningless cliche about drugs. All the time that we spent in trying to eradicate drugs from our society, and certainly it was never going to happen 100%, but the Democrats profess to care. They don't care. It's just another cliche that means nothing to the Democrat Party. And they proved it. They proved it in just 849 days. They proved it. Fentanyl. One time a child uses fentanyl, they could die. One time. You got police, law enforcement being placed in serious situations. They open up a bag and a powder of fentanyl gets in the air and they inhale it. They could die. And Biden is out there eating chocolate chip ice cream. and can't speak in complete sentences and allows the border to be open and you have illegals running amok inside of America, and then you have the drug cartels now getting a foothold in the United States across our borders and setting up military-style installations in order to fight Border Patrol. How in the hell, how is it that a president of the United States allows that to happen? It's unconscionable that a president of the United States would think that less of his country and allow it to be invaded right under his nose. I don't care how mentally aware this imbecile is. Certainly, if he had that much time invested in the United States over 40-plus years in government, you mean to tell me that you've lost all sense of patriotism? You've lost all sense of Americanism and nationalism, that you would allow this abuse to occur under your watch? It's not by accident, Al. As I said, it's all by design.
Yeah. Well, I expect Marxists to behave in that fashion. My problem is with the Republicans and conservatives who are allowing this to happen. And they continue to allow it to happen and sit back and say nothing. And we saw it with the McCarthy votes. It took 14, 15 votes for McCarthy to be Speaker of the House because of 20 Republicans who held the line on strong conservative issues that McCarthy would have to follow going forward. And it took 14, 15, 16 votes. But that means that only 20% of the Republican Party are constitutionalists. The other ones are all, I don't know, fluid.
Uniparty members?
And they're conservatism. Yeah. Yeah, they're part of the problem.
They are. You know, Joe Gibson has it right. The idea is to start, electing – you know, people just take the step and start in the grassroots and start electing people who believe in the United States of America. And, you know, what we've learned is that the Democrat Party controls this Marxism. They endorse this Marxism. And you know what? They make everybody a victim. And that's what made Tim Scott's speech today very uplifting. Because as he said, I'm not a victim. I'm a victor. And you know what? I've overcome. We had nothing. I grew up, you know, our family was poor, but I was able to overcome that. And why? Because my mother always told me that we're a victor, not a victim.
Yep.
But that's bad for the Democrat Party.
Yeah. And our favorite Viking, he says repeatedly that we are a uniparty. And I always kind of didn't embrace it, but he is right and has been right for 2 years. He saw the writing on the wall, and I was reluctant to see it. I didn't want to see it because I didn't believe that it was true, but it is 100% true. And I think the only way that we're going to get past this is that move the ship in the correct direction is to have President Trump be elected in this 24, and then DeSantis in 28 and 32. I sure as hell hope that Ron DeSantis sees that and backs off of his run for the presidency.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't think his ego is going to allow for that. And secondly, there is the establishment absolutely despises Donald Trump. And you know what? For what reason? It's unbelievable, other than that he's mean and he's direct, he's abrasive. But you know something? America needs somebody who is abrasive and who's direct and who is a leader and takes the bull by the horns. Right now, we have a feeble old man who is a puppet, whose strings are being pulled by a collective set in Washington, D.C. behind him, who are all part of the Obama regime. And it's their radical ideology that is driving this to dilute America's nationalism. And the influx of illegal, unvaccinated, unvetted aliens is a key indication of how they wanted to dilute America and how they despise America and what it stands for. You know, when 1 million legal immigrants take the oath and pledge their allegiance to the United States, they know more about this country than I bet you many of the 535 in Congress know. And they have a sense of allegiance to the country. And that allegiance, when you allow 7 million unvetted, unvaccinated aliens to pour through your borders, they have no allegiance. And then they make demands. And it's exactly what Barack Obama wanted. He despises colonialism. He's following exactly what his radical anti-American brothers and sisters, Bernadine Dorn and Bill Ayers, wanted. They wanted this prairie fire. They don't want just prairie fire. They want America on fire. And I think that the radicals that are within the bureaucracy and certainly within this White House, they want this civil unrest. They want this turmoil. They want this chaos. And they are allowing communist China now to flex its muscles as being the world power. And as Russia is consumed with Ukraine, and here we are, we, including the European Union, are fueling the Ukrainians. On the other side, we're buying oil from Russia, infusing cash into Russia to ensure that war continues. Communist China is laughing all the ways around the world. They're establishing bases in the east and the west coast of Africa. They're establishing presence in Central America. They're establishing a presence in Australia, New Zealand. They're establishing a presence in South America. And Joe Biden is eating chocolate chip ice cream. And he's proclaiming at the G7 summit that his administration balanced the budget. That's an absolute lie. And so where is the media calling him out on this? You know, it's a chronic lie. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They don't know what this guy's going to say, but it doesn't matter because we have a media who is a willing accomplice allowing this imbecile to say what he pleases and not be held accountable for his inactions.
Well, luckily for our dear president, he's getting help from our businesses, Ford in particular. We all talked about Bud Light and InBev, and they're going cross-dressing chic and going gay. And even Ford now has joined. They wanted to destroy their own brand. So Ford's truck division, they got an emergency call from Bud Light on line one. Repeat, emergency call from Bud Light. And it looks like the Ford executives who could have stopped their brand from becoming the Bud Light of trucks had already done the deed in a year ago when they ran the very gay Raptor. Yes, that's its real name at a major motorsports event. You might have seen this truck. It's a Ford F-150 or a Ford Raptor with a rainbow painted across the hood and the side of the vehicle.
Jeez.
Jesus, right. I have an F-150, and now my F-150 might turn gay, and I'm very nervous. But I'm keeping mine a silver color, and my F-150 is going to be straight. There's no cross-dressing with mine. But the fact that Ford has built up a great brand. Was it maybe 10, 15 years ago, Chevy ended up going bankrupt, and the government bought them out, and they became Chevrolet Government Motors, and they lost their brand. And now Ford is losing their brand because they're embracing this cross-dressing, I don't even know a word for it other than mass hysteria that's crossing this country. Why would they do that? Why would they do that? why would they destroy their brand? It's very expensive and very difficult to maintain a brand. That's what gives your company value.
I mean, they were on the precipices of bankruptcy themselves, Ford, and the American people helped bail them out because they liked the fact that they didn't have to have the federal government come in and save them. And here you have Ford doing what they're doing is unbelievable. It's unbelievable what they're doing.
Yeah, it's a rape of their stock and bondholders. It's horrible. And now, I mean, I've had to give up drinking Budweiser, which I liked. And now I can't drink Corona, which is my go-to beer, because Corona is owned by InBev. I can't drink Stella. I like Stella Artois. That's a great beer as well. I can't drink that. So now I drink Yingling, which, by the way, is an excellent beer. Miller Lite is all Miller Lite, but Yingling is an excellent beer, and that's what I drink now.
And Yingling is the oldest brewery in America, and it's an American American made brewery, and also I drink as well Guinness as well. So
Guinness, excellent choice.
I love Guinness. I can't drink a lot of it. I mean, it's so heavy, but it's just great to have a nice Guinness. And I will have a Yingling. I have Yingling in my refrigerator. I have no Budweiser, no Miller Lite anymore. Yep. And
yeah,
I'm on my last bottle of Jack Daniels. Oh.
The last
even
for, well, so you go buy another, unless you're giving it up. Sounds like,
well, considering what Jack Daniels is going through as well, they're going woke as well, which is very, very
Jack Daniels?
Disappointing. Yeah.
Wait a minute. Tell me it's not so. I hadn't heard this. I thought it couldn't get any worse. They're going Jane Daniels on me and you.
Yeah, and you know,
no,
my a family member, my nephew, had turned me on to Jack and Ginger. I love Gentleman Jack. I love, you know, Jack and water, and Jack meat and Jack on ice. And now you've got Jack Daniels. Largely campaign. Jack Daniels faces boycott calls over LGBT campaign, lost a loyal drinker. First, it was Hershey, right? The Hershey bar?
Yeah. Yes.
And it was
Hershey.
Bud Light.
I love Hershey.
Right? Hershey? Yeah. Yep. The latest brand this year to face boycott over claims that gone woke. Social media users have taken offense to the Whiskey Brewers Small Town Big Pride campaign, in which it teamed up with drag queens from RuPaul's Drag Race, despite the campaign being nearly 2 years old. And, yeah, so the LGBT brand ambassador, a symbolic of wider debate about drag shows and their exposure to children. Critics have expressed concerns over drag queen story hour readings for children by drag queens for what? Tennessee Jack Daniels' home state was the first to pass drag show ban in the presence of children. That's been temporary blocked. But Jack Daniels said in June of 2021, that it had teamed up with three drag queens from the hit TV show to produce a series of videos called Drag Queen Summer Glamp, which was released during Pride Month. It features the participants completing challenges around the company's Lynchburg, Tennessee distillery.
Oh, man.
Oh, mama mia.
Mm.
I mean,
at least there's a lot of other, you have a lot of choices in the world of bourbon. Basil Hayden is phenomenal. And then you have all the single malts out. Yeah.
Angel, isn't it Angel here? Angel, what is it called?
Ooh. Yes, we have a mutual friend who mentions that quite frequently.
Yeah. I just, oh, my God. I mean, it's like, seriously, I mean, I don't get it. Honestly, I just don't get it. And here we are in the United States where we're having to make this an issue. And you've got you know, communist China is teaching their 7-year-old kids about calculus. And, you know, we're concerned about a 7-year-old in the United States, a 7-year-old girl who likes to play, you know, ball now. Well, she identifies as a boy. No, she doesn't. She doesn't know what she wants. She's only 7 years old. She's only 8 years old. And they intentionally confuse the child. And it's just, it's disgusting. It's disgusting.
Well, yeah, that's very disturbing. Is the medical field is now, I don't know, giving these kids these hormone blockers. They're doing actual surgery on these kids because they're young and they don't know, and there's all this talk all around them circling about this transgenderism. And then I think the schools are promoting it as well. They're keeping information away from the parents, where if a student at school shows an interest in this transgenderism or changing their gender, they don't tell the parents. They do it secretly behind their back. And I think anybody that does that to a child under the age of 18, a child, a individual who is not yet old enough to legally contract, I think that is child abuse, and anyone who does that should be thrown in jail. And that's our medical profession, too. The fact that they would even do this to kids without the parental consent, or even with parents' consent, because some parents are idiots as well, I think it's evil of the highest order and should be illegal. But now it's the new normal. Has our society fallen that quickly in 2 short years? Well, I don't hear you. Let's see here. I see green lights everywhere, so I guess that your earbuds must have given up their batteries. So anyway, there's a new study now that mask wearers are poisoning themselves with useless masks. We've been saying this for, gosh, since the whole COVID thing started, but a new study finds that masks are useless for stopping anyone from getting sick, and they're actually making those who wear them get sick. If you don't know, I've been saying this for, well, almost 3 years now since this whole COVID thing started, and it's not the first time. This is a German study. Found that masks are bad for people. In fact, nearly every study ever conducted, save the few that were published during the height of the COVID madness, has found that they are useless. The study highlights how much carbon dioxide mask wearers are breathing back into their own lungs, essentially poisoning themselves in the process. Rather than breathing in the fresh air of freedom, mask wearers breathe in the tainted air that should have been expelled from their bodies and released out into the open. The authors of the German study observed that a significant rise in carbon dioxide occurred while wearing a mask, as scientifically proven in many studies. And
hey,
this craziness is, yeah.
Hold on,
I hear
a
you now.
We have a call. Yeah, we have a caller, and then we only got about 5 minutes left. But I got a call by the name of Michael. He wants to talk about this, pretty much what you're talking about, but also the New World Order, too. So you want to get him on real quick?
Sure. Yeah, Mike.
All right.
Hey.
Hi, Michael.
Hey, guys.
Thanks for holding.
Good. Pleasure being able to tune into your show. I was actually sent a text by Joseph Gibson, who has a blog talk radio show that he was doing for the last 10 years for the Republic, the United States of America. That's a whole other topic. But as I indicated when I was brought in there, I am the founder and publisher of TheBigVirusHoax.com and RighteousArmy.org. And you guys are definitely hitting the issues. And I just wanted to say, again, coming from me, throwing the meat on the table, that, yes, everything that is going on right now has entirely to do with the fact that there is a godless, communist, Marxist, New World Order, One World Government agenda afoot. That's all there is to it. And it is their plan to not only use medical tyranny and false concepts of viruses and germs that are completely unscientific, they are literally just concepts that medical industry is using as an excuse to be able to manipulate and control people and create laws based on supposed alleged safety concerns. It's all bogus. It's complete rubbish. We have proven that on the website, thebigvirushoax.com. And when I created Righteous Army, it's because, okay, all the answers are here at the Big Virus Hoax on what's happening. Viruses, what they are, what they're not, the true science behind it, vaccines, what's in them, contracts between the pharmaceutical companies and the Department of Defense with, you know, formulating bioweapons and implementing them into vaccines, implementing technologies into vaccines, social media censorship, social engineering, like what they're doing in China. We addressed all that, so now what are we going to do about it? We need a righteous army. Well, what is the righteous army? I've addressed that. We really do. It really comes down to the bottom line is the enemy, the last obstacle, the hurdle for the New World Order, One World Government, transsexual, transgender, transhumanism agenda. The hurdle for them, their obstacle is God-respecting, traditional family-believing, Second Amendment-believing, constitutional-believing, patriotic Americans. They are the obstacle. So those people that are of like mind on those issues, must begin to unite and organize in their local communities. They need to start being active and taking charge of what's happening in their communities politically, using common law, using really, I addressed all of those issues on righteousarmy.org. I mean, all the answers are there. So I would encourage you guys as fellow truthers and fellow patriots to, you know, be familiar with those sites. Check them out, because I spent the last 3 years compiling the best of the best information for the benefit of the American people on those websites. I believe I've got all the answers there, and I believe it was through inspiration from our Heavenly Father, the Creator, Lord God Almighty, when I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning with, you know, various things that were on my mind that I needed to publish. And I really nailed it all. There's a lot of groups. You guys are doing it. I'm doing it. There's other groups doing it. And we're all splintered. There needs to be a way for all of us who are of like mind on these key issues, which I've addressed on the website, the things that we agree upon and the things that we're opposed to, I've pretty much outlined, because we're never going to get everybody to agree on everything. But the things that we agree upon and the things that we're opposed to, those of us that are of like mind, we must unite and organize, be fearless, stand up for what is right, for what is moral, for what is good, and be fearless. So I appreciate the opportunity to, you know, share those words with you guys.
Well, thank you, Michael. And we are coming down to the end. I don't want to cut you short. We're coming down to the end of the show, but we do appreciate you calling in, and we will definitely look at bigvirushoax.com. And I'm going to take a look at it after the show and digest it. So thank you. We appreciate the call.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And just
you
for
keep
the record,
up the fight, will you?
It's the Big Virus Hoax or Big Virus Hoax. Both should go to the same site.
The Big Virus. Okay,
thanks,
great.
Guys.
We will definitely look that up. Well,
God
thank
bless
you. Thanks
guys
for the work that you're doing.
Yeah, thank
take
you.
Care.
Keep fighting the good fight. All right, brother.
We will do so. Thanks for the call. Man, so there you go, Al. You know, it's nice to know that we are on the same page, and like Michael said, and even Joe said, we got to be on the same page. And I think this election is definitely going to be the election for the future, and we will get on the same page, and we thank all of our supporters, all of our podcast listeners. We got Annie in the chat room, Southern Sense Talk Radio. You can check out Annie on Fridays at 1 p.m. at the 4 p.m. with a great sidekick, author Curtis Bennett, on Blog Talk Radio. And you got Bigfoot, our big patriot, www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. He does a great job with his blog spot. It's a fantastic blog spot. All international news, national news. And, of course, tomorrow night we've got Wednesday night, we've got Hank Jones and Poly Sports. Check out Hank at 6 p.m. Eastern time. Friday, I will be sitting in again, Take No Prisoners at 12 p.m. Eastern time, and it'll be an hour show so that you can go right over to Southern Fence Talk Radio and listen to Annie and her great show. Saturday, Minister Simon Ducknick, the beautiful Christie, revealing the truth about Islam at 10 p.m. Eastern time. And Sunday, Eric from Fafiristan with the Cross and the Crescent discussion. Check him out at 2 p.m. Eastern time. And then Al and I will be back at 6 p.m. Eastern time on Monday. As I said, check out Annie at Southern Fence Talk Radio. And that's Friday afternoon, 1 p.m. Eastern time, with a great co-host, author Curtis Bennett. If you want a break at an apolitical show, check out the Simone Nicole Show at Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern time at Spreaker.com, Spreaker.com. And Joshua does a fantastic job. Thursday, you got Audrey Russo of Real Talk Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern time. Go to AudreyRusso.com and check out Audrey's show. She has some great guests. She usually has three guests on, and her great sidekick, Mr. P, he's got some great monologues. And check out Joe Gibson, Restoring Our Republic, 7 p.m. Eastern time on Tuesdays. Al and I will be back next Monday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern. I'm sorry, 6 p.m. Eastern time, from 6 to 8. Woo! any parting shots, Al?
Adios, amigos. Have a great week. Stay safe, and we'll see you next Monday.
Yeah, be aware of your surroundings out there. You know, check us out on Twitter at Global Patriot Radio, at G Patriot Radio, excuse me, and at Mama Mia No Sharia on Twitter. And, you know, as Michael said, as Joe said, as Al said, we got to be united. And it's time to take on this establishment, and we're not going to sit back any longer and take this and have the world body dictate, you know, policy, including confiscating our farms in the United States of America in order to stop the agriculture and growing of food in America. So we're done with it. You all be safe out there. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next week. Ciao for now.
For what is a man? What has he got? If not himself, then he has not to say the things he truly feels, and not the words of one who kneels. The record shows I took the blows and did it my way. Yes, it was my way.
Man, having this phone go out just really pissed me off.
Yeah, I thought the dead air. I figured your pods ran out of steam.
No, I actually had the phone call, and I wanted to see who it was. I didn't recognize the number, so but then it turned to be a legit call. That was Michael, so that was good.
Yeah, I'm just on his site looking at his resume. It's interesting.
And my earbuds stopped, and they ran out of juice, and it's like, oh, my God. I was like...
Well, go to his website and check out his resume. Let me know what you think.
Okay, I'll do that. And
RighteousArmy.org.
All right, and I'll check it out. Okay.
Yeah. I'll tell you.
All right.
I guess.
You gotta run. I was gonna say. Yeah, I gotta go. I just my phone's dying. Everything's just not.
It's just
no worries
right now.
All right, well, you have a good week, Sue. You take care of yourself, and we will talk to you soon.
Yeah, bye, Sue. You take care, and sorry, I'll get myself organized here.
Yeah, get your shit together, will you?
I'm going to try.
All
right. Yeah, I'll talk to you later.
All right, have a great week.
All right, bye.